Lord, I thank you for gathering your saints. People called out of their lives, called out of their own purposes, called and invited to be your saints, your children, your disciples. So I pray that tonight you would expand our understanding of that calling, that we would live according to that calling, that we would look at life through the lens of that calling. That lens, Lord, that viewpoint, that perspective would enable us to make decisions about how we live. That lens would enable us to steward our own thoughts and feelings. We would not live for ourselves and make decisions based on the foolishness of our flesh, but we would make decisions because we have been bought with a price. Our life is not our own, and hallelujah, you have brought us to yourself. You are our shield, and you are our exceedingly great reward. You have given us an inheritance that is incorruptible, stored in heaven. Help us to understand, Lord, who we are in you. Our identity is not formed by other people, places, situation, things. Our identity is forged in heaven. Lord, according to how you see us, give us an understanding of that, I pray. And help us to help one another attain that understanding, maintain that understanding, and continually live according to that understanding. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Many times as believers, we struggle with the issues of why is life the way it is? People in the world are always asking that question. If we have a good God, why is there such evil and suffering in the world? Certainly God could have done things differently. But God has a plan and he has a purpose. How many of you want to line up with God's plan and purpose? Yeah. Be careful what you say yes to. Because you're not saying yes to me, you're saying yes to someone who is way more serious than I am. How many of you know you have a serious God? How many of you know he's not to be trifled with? I love that prophetic word, and if that's what the ladies' conference was all about today, that's a serious call to a devout and holy life, which means your life is no longer about you. You understand that? Holiness means to be dedicated to God. That is, to his plans and his purposes and his ways. Then, when you're dedicated yourself, something happens in all of your relationships, and this is where people get problems. How many of you understand that the most problems you're going to have in this world are from other people? Many people stop going to church because there are people in church. I've had pastors tell me church would be great if there were no people. That's why they started, you know, in the second or third or fourth century, is it, there was a thing where these guys went off into the desert because they couldn't stand the people. And, you know, they'd be monks living in caves, and they'd rather live in the caves than be around the people. How many of you understand that? How many of you are liars here tonight? How many of you are thinking, well, I think I like that option? It's actually caves not too far from here. Because they wanted to meet with the Lord, and the problems they were having were dealing with other people. But I want you to know, part of our assignment in life is learning how to deal properly with one another. And only when we learn how to deal properly with one another will we begin to really be the authentic body of Christ. If we don't learn how to properly steward one another's souls, speak the truth in love to one another, and help one another, we will never really attain, we'll never really enter into the inheritance that God has for us as a community of faith that is the body of Christ. We will always choose the counterfeit and substitute of merely being churchgoers and having nice meetings. And all over the Western world in particular, we have people who are choosing, I want to be a churchgoer and have nice meetings, and if that church doesn't make me feel good, I will go to another church where they will make me feel good because their life, wrongly, erroneously, they're thinking, well, my life is about me. And my life is about me being happy. And God's intention to slay his son on my behalf is so I could be happy. There are people who believe that, but it's not found in the Bible. God slew his son on our behalf so that you and I could have an entrance into, listen to me, into a school of the Spirit whereby you can be formed and fashioned to be the sons and daughters of God, worthy of being trained to rule and reign with him. Amen. You need to understand that. Because if you begin to understand some of the whys that life on earth has been created the way that it is, it will help you in your journey through the difficulties, the trials, the tribulations, the pain, the suffering, the disappointments, and all the things that are common to everybody, saved and unsaved people alike. And sometimes when you get saved, when you really do surrender your life to the Lord, life gets even more difficult. How many of you have discovered that? Because when you really surrender your life to the Lord, now you have problems with an evil supernatural force that the Bible calls Satan and the devil. Before that, you were on his team. He didn't bother you. You were doing it. You know, what you did was of no concern to him. You were no threat to him. You were doing your own thing, living your own life, doing whatever you wanted, whatever he wanted, and everything was good as far as he was concerned. When you came to Jesus, you became a traitor to the kingdom of darkness, you know? And now as a traitor, he's after you. How many of you understand that? So you come to Jesus and hell in high water starts to come to you and you wonder, what the hell is going on here? How many of you said that? Don't be offended that I use the word hell. It is a Bible word, okay? Because I know I have some people get upset. He said hell. Exactly. So did Jesus. So I'm in good company. Anyway, and hell breaks loose against us. That is that force of darkness. Jesus said that the gates of hell, he used the word, by the way, here you are, there's a Bible verse for you. The gates of hell shall not, what? Prevail against my church, because we're supposed to be moving forward in the fulfillment, listen to me, of God's purposes, not yours. So we're called to lay our life down, and then we're called to help one another learn and change and grow. For me, these three words, learn and change and grow, are really important words. It helps me process a lot of my own stuff and the stuff that other people bring to me. Because when I got an understanding that my job as a brother, not just as a minister or a leader or a pastor or a teacher, my job simply as a brother to my brothers and my sisters, my job was to help everybody around me learn and change and grow. My job was not to help make people like me. My job was not to make people happy. My job was not to make people feel good about themselves. Because sometimes speaking the truth to somebody will pierce their heart and they'll say to you, you know, hands on the hip and the whole swagger in the head, you're not helping. Well, excuse me, the reason I'm not helping is because you want me to say something that's going to stroke your flesh and Jesus wants to kill it. I'm going to another church. I want to go to a church, you know, that's about me and they're going to promise me things and how God wants to bless me. You know, by his poverty, I became rich and I can tell God what to do and how to do it and I want this house and this. How many of you know God is not like that? You know, God blesses us, but our relationship to him is, listen to me say this to you, our relationship to him is not based on us. Our relationship to him is based on him. We've got to get ourselves out of the center of our life, put Jesus in the center. This makes your life a lot easier. Put Jesus in the center of your life. Then you can say to the devil, I am flat out not interested in what you're offering me. I'm not interested in the temptation. I'm not interested in the sin. I'm not interested in the lies when you come telling me, oh, your feelings are hurt. They didn't smile at you when you came into church. They're not asking you to sing on the worship team.
Don't they know how wonderful you are? They're not asking you to preach or teach. Don't they know how wonderful you are? Yes, they don't know how wonderful I am. I should go to another place. You're having this dialogue with the devil, you understand? Yes, that's right. You should go to another church. I'll tell you where to go to. How many of you have dialogues like that and your flesh rises up? You're offended, you're upset, you're disappointed, you're discouraged, you're mad at yourself, you're mad at God, you're mad at the pastor, you're mad at everybody, and you don't even know what you're mad at anymore. How many have been in those moments? This side, I have to preach to them because, you know, hallelujah, there's an honest soul in the back. Bless you, brother. So here's the thing. God is looking for us to be ready now, face to face, honest with Him. God loves face-to-face honesty. He loves it when you say things to Him like this. I don't like you so much just right now. Stuff is happening. Your flesh is boiling. You're not getting what you want. You're not getting what you think you need. You're upset. You're uptight. You're angry. You know, pastors, you know, lay those hands on me and make it better. And they're trying to help you. They lay their hands on you. They make the nice shandobuki, you know, in the name of Jesus. And stuff gets worse. How many of you had moments like that? Pastor, something is wrong with you. You prayed over me and things got worse. How many of you know it's not the pastor's fault? It's that God is wanting to do a deeper work in you. Well, that was a good place to say amen. So now God is looking for disciples. Really important word. Not just believers or make-believers or churchgoers or selfish, self-seeking, immature baby people who are whinging and whining and complaining. I don't like this and I don't like that and I don't like this and I don't like that and I'm unhappy about this. And you're spinning around in all of the I am stuff. Let me tell you something. There is an I am in the kingdom of God and it's not you or me. Did you get that memo? Exodus chapter 3, that revelation of Moses. When he encountered the burning bush and he said, who am I going to say? And God is speaking to him. Who shall I say sent me? And God said, tell them I am is sending you. And I understand that when God said I am, the plain implication was you're not. So when you begin to understand this is not about me, my life is not about me, my life is about His purposes for me. Then it changes all of my relationships because I don't want anybody to stroke my flesh. I don't want anybody just to say nice things to me. I want people who are going to help me learn and change and grow. And therefore, I invite them into my life that says, if I'm doing something that's nutty, if I act in a way that's not right, I want you to confront me with it because I don't want to waste my life playing games with myself and playing games with one another. And I tell you, if you will be a community of people that will make a commitment not to play games, the purposes of God can be established here. And if not, the purposes of God cannot be established here, and the best you'll have is a nice church that people like. You don't want that. You know, I hate this thing where, you know, people say, oh, I enjoyed the message. Well, guess what? If you're thinking that you have to enjoy it, there will be times when God will speak to you and it'll be a razor blade through your soul and it won't be a happy moment for you. And you'll say, Pastor, I hate you. I hate your church. I hate your people. I don't like God right now. And this God won't let me leave your church. I want you to preach something different. I want you to sing different songs. I want the people to treat me differently. Something rises up inside of you as I say this to you that says, no, that's not what I want to be like. And you begin to make a decision. Do you understand? You make a choice for your own soul that says, that's not the person I want to be. I want to be a disciple of the kingdom of God, and I want to pay the price to have the maturity, underline the word maturity, that God wants me to have, so that on the great day when I stand before the Lord, He'll look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little now, I can trust you. You've proven to me, catch this now, this is why we're in the world of sin and suffering and difficulty, because you have this precious eternal opportunity to prove yourself as an individual that God can entrust with his kingdom, riches, and authority. So now, instead of looking at your life and, oh, why is this happening, and I don't like this, and I don't like that, and that broke down, and this one didn't do this, and this one isn't acting right, and la, 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 you know, the whinging and whining. How many of you are good at whinging and whining? Raise your hand, liars. I'm going to just, we repent, Lord, of being complainers and whinging, right? Can we repent of that now? Even though you don't believe it, I am interceding for you, Father, in the name of Jesus. They're lying, but I bless them. Hallelujah. You know, because we get this stuff in our flesh. It rises up. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this. And we get all of this stuff starts to happen. And then we start banging into one another's likes and dislikes. Well, I don't like you and I don't like her and I don't like this and I don't like that. Because there is this fundamental wrong understanding of yourself that you think that your life is about you and what you like. And I tell you, when you repent of that, when you deeply and profoundly repent of that and say to the Lord, I want to be your disciple, teach me and train me so that whatever you want to do, you will do that in me. Then all of a sudden now you look at life when the stuff comes at you, when the enemy comes at you, when things break down, when people disappoint you, when people say and do things that are hurtful and wrong, and I'm not justifying what they did. That's another story. God will deal with them and all of the things they did wrong. But when that, all of that wrong comes at you, you don't rise up in I hate this. You rise up and said, thank you, Jesus, for this precious moment of pain. Thank you, Lord, for this precious moment of difficulty. I'm not praying that it will go away. I'm praying that it will do the work inside of me. Listen to me. When you have that new mentality, instead of being upset and angry, oh, I wish this didn't happen, and I don't like this, and I don't like that, you're saying, okay, Abba, in your great oversight of my life in the universe, because God is overseeing the micro and the macro, the whole universe and your life, because you're important to him. Do you know that? You are important to him. So he is saying, you're saying, Lord, thank you that you've allowed this to happen to me. Teach me how not to miss the moment that this pain can teach me. Because in the natural, what we all do is try to avoid the pain and run away from it as fast as possible and fix it, rather than saying, thank you, Lord, do the deep work inside of me that you want to do. I tell you, beloved, that when you have that mindset that places yourself, and this is a choice. Do you understand it? You can't choose it for your spouse. You can't choose it for your children or your parents or your pastor or your friends or your neighbor or anybody. You can't choose it for anybody but yourself. You can pray that God's grace come upon people that they would choose it, but you must make a choice for yourself that says, Lord, here I am in the midst of these things that I don't like, can't stand, wish they were different, the pain, the problem, the situation, Lord, don't let me miss the moment that these things are intended to teach me. Don't let me miss it. So I'm not going to get distracted and to be angry at them. Well, they did this and they did that and they shouldn't have done that. And you know, you're always looking at the other people and you're missing the moment of transformation that can deeply work inside of you. But if you catch the moment of transformation, that thing that comes your way does something deep inside of you. And when it's done, you're changed. You're changed. There's a power in you. There's a liberty in you. There's a freedom in you. What used to hurt you doesn't hurt you anymore. What used to trip you up doesn't trip you up anymore. What used to confound you doesn't confound you. What used to get you upset, people slighted you, didn't smile at you, didn't ask you to be on the worship team, whatever it was, you're not tripping over it anymore. You're saying, God, if you want me to be on the worship team, I'll be on the worship team. You want me to have that job, I'll have that job. You want me to do that, I don't care. They don't smile at me, I'll smile at them. I'm free. Hallelujah. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Isn't there's nothing like being free. So when Jesus said, when the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. This is the process, discipleship. You choose to mature. You choose to be a maturing disciple. This process works inside of you when you start to get freer and freer and freer. Then you can get bumped up to the next level and you can start helping one another get freer and freer and freer because you won't let other people stay in their flesh anymore when they get upset. Well, she said that and she said that and he did this and he did that and And you start, then they start coming around you and expecting you to be merciful and compassionate. And instead, you rebuke them. And you're like, why are you so hard and tough? I'm not being hard and tough. I'm trying to get you out of your slimy flesh that's killing you. I'm going to another church. Okay, you just made a choice. You just made a choice. Don't blame other people. You made the choice to remain in your flesh, and God is giving you an opportunity to die to that flesh, and it is a painful process. Please do not think that this is a process without pain. It is a painful process to learn and change and grow and mature. It's painful. So if someone preaches to you that Jesus took your pain so you don't have to have any, they are not teaching you biblical truth. Read your Bible. Look at what the Apostle Paul went through. Look at what the original apostles and prophets went through. They were all martyred. They all died. They went to bring the kingdom of God to the nations of the earth. They paid the ultimate price and their martyrdom as a witness. That's what the word martyr means. It means witness, that they were witnessing for the Lord. And we in the West, you know, 2,000 years later, we got this whole thing upside down where we think it's about making us happy, you know, and enjoying the meeting. Did you enjoy the meeting, brother? Did you enjoy the worship? Did you enjoy the preaching? No, I didn't. Praise the Lord. That's good. God is doing a deep work inside of you. Yes, I know. How are you? Oh, we'll rebuke that out. Cast it out of you in the name of Jesus. See, we have to learn how to enter in. If you, as a community of faith, if you, as an expression of the body of Christ, are going to be maturing and helping one another mature, you have to have a mindset to one another that's going to sound like this. Brother, I want you to learn and change and grow and mature so that the Lord can entrust you with his ultimate authority, and that's how I want you to relate to me. We're not going to relate in the flesh to one another. We're not going to relate, well, I'll be nice to you, and you'll be nice to me, and we'll be nice people doing nice things, hallelujah. No, we're going to be people speaking the truth in love. Why? Because I want you to mature. I want you to grow up. I want to hear the Lord say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I want him to say to me, well done, you helped your brother, you helped your sister, you helped all of these people learn and change and grow. I can trust you with even more of my kingdom because you'd stopped living for yourself. You stopped getting this mindset inside of your own head. Well, we know how we do this. We do this all the time. We edit what we're going to say. Well, if I say this, they might think that. And then if they think that, they might do that, and then I wouldn't like what they'll say. And then if I say this, well, they might say that, and then, you know, it's very draining to think that. It's like, oh my God, what do I say and what do I don't say? And how do I dress? And well, if I dress this way, they might say this, and if I dress that way, and so rather than, Lord Jesus, what do you want me to wear today? And you leave the house, and your wife might look at you, but you could say, Jesus told me to wear this. That's another interesting dynamic. That's for the marriage seminar, hallelujah. But you're free, listen to me, you're free from the lie. What will other people say? What will other people think? This is a huge trap we are in the flesh. It is a huge trap that we're in the flesh, and we need to learn how to get free from what other people are thinking and what other people are saying and have a deep sense in our spirit. Lord, what are you thinking and what are you saying to me? Because remember, a part of this whole process is deepening our intimacy with God. Learning how to walk closer and closer with Him. This is the process. Listen to me. This is the process of discipleship. Learning how to walk closer and closer to Him. And nobody gets it right completely until we're with Him. Do you understand? We're all still in school as long as we're in this life and in this body. So if I've been in school a little longer than you, and my heart is to help you, then that's what I would do. If you're in school, the school of the Spirit, a little longer than someone else, and you've kept your heart right, then you're going to want to help other people.
You're going to speak the truth in love to them, and you're going to encourage them, and you're not going to be tripped up if they don't like you. You'll just say, okay, well, if you don't like me, you don't like me. Maybe next week you will. Well, yeah, or not. Whatever God you want me to do, I'm going to do. This changes fundamentally. It changes the way we listen to me. It changes fundamentally the way we intentionally and proactively relate to one another. Otherwise, we come to church just like everybody in the flesh, going to a club, any kind of a social club. This is my boundaries. You know, you can't come close to me, and I won't come close to you. We'll have whatever superficial kind of relationship. You know, we decide these are my boundaries, don't violate it, and whatever. But if you come to Christ, really as a disciple, you're saying to the Lord, Lord, show me where I'm supposed to be with a group of people. And let me tell you something, one group of people is more or less the same as any other group of people. Just want you to know the grass is not greener on the other side. You still have to mow the lawn. Okay? I've been in hundreds and hundreds of churches ministering and teaching in various countries. And I want to tell you this, the only difference between you, this group and any other group may simply be the language that you speak. No, or the accent with which you are speaking the language that you're speaking. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This means yes, this means no. Just in case you haven't got that here, wherever we are. Matt, wherever that is, Sherwood Forest, that's what I call this place. You got Maid Marian, it works for me, hallelujah. So I get on the phone, how are things in Sherwood Forest? She knows what I'm talking about. It's good that she does, so at least one of us does. Listen, I believe there is a call in the Spirit to bring the whole body of Christ to new levels of maturity. Our response to that call is individual and then corporate. But before it can be corporate, it must be individual. You must be like Joshua, and I believe it's chapter 24, the end of the book, where he stands before all of Israel after all they have gone through and says to them, even then, if you deem the gods of Egypt more worthy of your allegiance, go and follow them. As for me and my house, we are going to follow the Lord. Amen. Joshua was making a choice for his own soul. Husband doesn't, wife doesn't, father, mother, children, whatever. I'm making a choice, Lord. Here, do this deep work in me. Now watch me. You start to collect a group of people together that all have the heart to learn, change, grow, and help one another learn, change, and grow. The very dynamic of our interpersonal interactions will change and be bumped up to so many new levels because you're intentionally thinking. You understand this? There's an intentionality in your mind. There's a proactive sense in your mind that everybody you see, everybody you look at, there's a purpose inside of you. How can I help my brother learn and change and grow? How can I help my sister learn and change and grow? This is my purpose. So if we're going to have a meal together, I'm thinking, Lord, you brought us to have a meal together. What conversation do you want us to have? You know, what do you want me to say to him? What am I supposed to hear from him? Everything, every minute, not wasting one precious moment. So that when the difficulties come, instead of being upset, God, why did you let this happen? You're rejoicing. This is not easy to do. I tell you this with fear and trembling in my own heart. I have been through lots of battles. I know there are more coming. That's okay. Because I've learned a lesson that says, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to learn in the midst of this? Do the work inside of me. And I tell you, as I've learned to steward my own feelings and steward my own soul, it makes it a lot easier for me to go through the difficulties. I can go through them a little more efficiently and a little faster because I learn the lesson faster. Instead of moping for 3 months or 6 months or however long, you know, you go into the prison of self-pity. You go into the prison of depression. You go into the prison of I don't like this and I'm not happy and I don't think I'll get out of bed and I won't go to work and I'll eat myself into whatever or I'll drink myself or I'll go back to drugs or I'll find sources of of pleasure because I feel so bad. So pornography starts to grab you, or drugs start to grab you, or alcohol starts to grab you, or illicit relationships because you're in pain. I'm not trying to minimize your pain. I'm trying to tell you how to manage it as a disciple. So instead of looking for pleasure to ameliorate the pain, you stand in the pain and you say to the Lord, okay, Abba, you've allowed pain to come into my life. You want to change me. You are the potter. I am the clay. I want your purposes in my life. I'm a disciple of the kingdom of God. I'm not moving from this place. Help me. Help me. Help me. Lord, I'm not going back. I'm not going left. I'm not going back to the sin. Help me. And the Lord says, get to the meeting. Now the devil says, no, you feel really, really bad. You don't want to go to that meeting. You don't love Jesus right now. You're just upset. You're upset. You're depressed. You're angry. You don't like anybody. You don't like the pastor. You don't like his wife. You don't like the way she dresses. You don't like, how many of you have those moments? And I'm not talking about necessarily this particular pastor. His hand is up. He doesn't even like himself sometimes. It's like, I don't even want to pastor this church. Jesus, why did you go here? I was a happy guy who had a job. Everything was good. What are you doing? I've had guys like that because God was in the process of the potter and the clay stripping them down from their fleshly, carnal, selfish ways because they actually were praying a prayer, Lord, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Have you heard of that prayer before? You know, we pray that ritualistically. You know, here's the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art. And we go through the motions. Let me tell you something. That is one dangerous prayer to pray. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. The disciples came to him and said, how should we pray? Oh, you want to know how to pray? I'll tell you. This is what you pray. Because we're praying, not my will, but thy will, and for your kingdom. The word kingdom means rulership. We have a king. Do you understand that the presidential election that we just went through had nothing to do with the kingdom of God? Jesus is not up for an election. He sits on his throne and rules over the nations. Presidents come, presidents go, kings come, kings go, kingdoms come, kingdoms go. Have you not studied church history at all? They rise up, he puts them down, they rise up, he puts them down. Happening all over the world. And it continues to happen. So we have a king who has a purpose. This is amazing to me. From the moment I first understand that to this very moment, it is always an amazement to me that the king of our kingdom died for us. The king died for us. And the king... In the history of humanity, there has never been a king like Jesus who wants to give his kingdom away. He said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And he, as the king, had the authority to give it to you. And that's what he intends to do. If you will be a disciple that he can teach and train in the midst of the circumstances of your life when you're praying, God, why is this happening to me? Why was I born in this to these parents, into this generation, into this life? Why did I go through this, the background and the suffering? I tell you, listen, there are mysteries. I understand that there are things that have been revealed to us and there are secret things belong to the Lord our God. And there are many things I simply do not understand. So you can ask me a lot of why questions and I'll shrug my shoulders at you and say, I don't know and I don't understand. All I know is that God is good. And if you put yourself in the place of being a disciple, a learning, changing, growing, maturing disciple, God will do a work in you that will change you and empower you. And I can only tell you that I know in my own soul it has changed and empowered me, and I went through many dark nights of the soul. I went through many, many painful moments crying out to God as God was stripping me of me and the ego and the flesh and the need to be liked and the need for approval and all of this junk that got put on my soul growing up the way I did. Just like so many of us, you know, we grow up with all of these things, you know, where we ask one another, how do you feel? Do you ever notice that nowhere in the Bible or by the prophetic spirit has God ever said to anybody, how do you feel? How are you feeling today? Is it good for you? He doesn't say that to you. He says, repent.
Grow up. Oh, man, I want another God. And there are many out there. You know, that whole New Age world and, you know, all the spirit things, spirit guides and fairies and demons of various and sundry flavors and colors, they're all, you know, they're all out there, you know, offering you all kinds of personal power. You know what I mean? And Jesus is calling you to die to yourself so that he can transform you, so that you can be entrusted and then qualify to rule and reign with him, because that's what he's after. And I love this about God. He is no respecter of persons. Your background, your gender, your race, your education or lack of it, or your finances or your parents or, you know, the back. None of those things disqualify you. Do you understand that? This is the King of the kingdom saying to everybody, I'll give you my kingdom. I'll teach you if you'll let me teach you. This is the choice. Where you sit in that seat and you say to the king, I'm yours, teach me. If nobody else is going, Lord, like Joshua, I'm going. If no one else is coming to the meeting, I'll be there, you know, Lord, and I will worship you. But there is a remnant in the earth. Listen to me tell you this. There is a remnant of the authentic body of Christ everywhere on the planet. Everywhere I go, I meet pockets of real, authentic, born-again, spirit-baptized people. Not yet spirit-filled, because if we were filled, we'd be different. Okay? I don't like that expression, you know, being spirit-filled. Because you might get filled for a minute, but we all leak. How many of you know you leak? Some of you leak so bad, by the time you get out the door, what happened on the floor is gone. You know, you get filled on Sunday, Tuesday, it's like, whoa, I'm back where I was Monday. Last Monday, 2 months ago, you know. Because you leak. But we got to get the leaks plugged up. The leaks get plugged up when you stop living for yourself. When you make a decision, this is not about me. Because there's the, oh, yeah, it was good on Sunday, but boss man is bad. See that face? That's a good devil face, right? I'll take a picture, put it on the website. Yeah, because there the enemy comes. Oh, so you had a good day on Sunday, did you? Well, let's see what we can arrange. How many of you ever feel like you're in that spiritual battle? You have spiritual highs and then pow, you wake up the next day and you wonder, where's God? You know, you don't even know if you believe anymore. How many of you had moments like that? It's like, what the hell is going on here? Hell is going on. And then you get a revelation. Oh my God, it's the devil. And then you say to him, I've had these moments. Perhaps you've had these moments with the devil. What? Devil, you are a good devil. For a devil, you're a really good devil. Because I got the revelation. I saw the avenue of attack, the subtlety of the lie, the play on my flesh, the oppression, the difficulty, the spiritual dynamic, the warfare, the all the junk happening, hitting me like a steamroller, and I get knocked down, and I wonder, God, where are you? Why did this happen? And there's that smirking demon. Then I realized, oh my goodness, now my language was a bit more colorful than I can say. I'm just being honest with you. I said to the devil, whoa, this is really you. Because that spirit of discernment started operating, and I realized this was the enemy's trap. Using people, places, situation, and things to take advantage of a place of weakness in me that I wasn't conscious of. I wasn't aware of. And it started flushing up, and I realized I had a choice. I could go into the temptation. I could go into the depression. I could go into the anger. I could go into the bitterness. I could do all of that stuff. Or I could make a stand. I could make a stand. I could be like Joseph and refuse to sin. You know, I love that phrase of when Joseph was with Potiphar's wife, and it says very simply, but he refused. He refused. He made a choice. And he knew that because he would refuse, it was not going to go well for him. He ended up in prison, full of, you know, despair. God, where are you? You know, the Bible says of Joseph that before the word of the Lord came to pass, remember the visions that Joseph had of the, you know, the stars bowing down and I believe the sheaves of wheat bowing down to him. Before the word of the Lord came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. And Joseph was tested. How many of you understand that God will test you? When there's a prophetic word over you, you're going to be tested in that prophetic word. So the leaking, the healing of the leaking comes when the difficulty comes and you make a choice. No, I'm not going back. I'm not going to the left. I'm not going to the right. Lord, I want to be your disciple. Help me. And then the Holy Spirit starts to help you. How many of you know he's been sent to be your helper? Then he starts to come and help. Or he might do lots of different things. Call somebody, tell them to pray for you. Get to the meeting. Get to the worship. Open your Bible. You know, whatever the dynamics are. Or somebody has a dream about you. Somebody maybe you haven't seen for a long time, and all of a sudden you're in the midst of this and the phone rings and it's a person, and they call you and say, you know, I can't get you out of my heart. The Lord is, I've been praying for you. What's going on? How many of you know, understand? I can remember a time, I haven't thought about this for a long time, when we were pastoring back in New York City, going through a very difficult time. Very difficult time. And all of a sudden, you know, in the midst of this, you know, the phone rang and I get on the phone and the voice says, is this Howard Morgan? And I said, yes. And I thought it was going to be great. Another attack, another accusation, more slander, you know, just all this stuff that was coming at us. Yeah, this was the 1980s. Yeah. And the guy says, I don't remember his name. He says to me, you don't know me. You don't probably won't remember me. He said, but you used to teach a Bible study in Manhattan for 3 years from 1979 to 1981. Every Wednesday night, I'd go into Manhattan. We were pastoring in Brooklyn and teach an evangelistic Bible study. And all kinds of people would come and the Lord would do all kinds of interesting things. People got saved and healed and delivered. We baptized, got people baptized in the Spirit and baptized in a bathtub. Because, you know, if somebody got saved, we baptized them and sent them out. Never, you know, didn't know where they were going, but they left changed. Amen. And this guy called me up, and he said to me, you don't know. He said, I've been trying to find you for a long time because the Lord is insisting that I tell you. He said, I was at that Bible study on East 69th Street. He said, you prayed for me to receive the Lord, to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, to get delivered from spirits of lust and homosexuality. He said, I got baptized in the bathtub. He said, I left that apartment that night a changed man. I left my lifestyle in New York City. I went back home to California. I got right with my family. I got right with the Lord. He said, now I'm married. I have children. Now I'm in ministry. He said, and all these things happened because I went to your Bible study and the Lord used you to touch my life. And I tell you what, all the darkness that was coming upon me, the Lord had this guy call like a light that just broke the darkness off of me, the depression and all that junk. So yeah, I've had moments like this. And I'm not unique in this. I know I'm not unique in it. I'm sure you and I could share testimonies of so many things that where the Lord, because I made a choice. I was standing my ground in the battle. Do you understand that? Stuff happens at work. Stuff happens at home. Health issues, problems, finances, you name it. But somewhere, you listen to me, you must make a stand that says, I am a disciple of the kingdom of God. I'm not going to live in my flesh. I'm not going to go backwards. I'm not going to, you know, turn around. I'm, Lord, here I am. Have mercy on me. I can't move. I'm staying here. Help me. And the Holy Spirit comes to help you. Then, you know, there's that whole dynamic of not going to be with the body. You know, and the enemy's got all kinds of lies about this. Well, you don't feel like going and you're a hypocrite. And sure, you're going to go there and put your Christian face on and raise your hands. And so, thank you, Jesus, when you don't mean it. You don't like Jesus right now. You don't know if you want to follow Jesus or anything to do with. But the Holy Spirit says, go to the meeting. Let me tell you something. Why the enemy hates when we assemble together. Listen to me. Every one of you carries in yourself, if you belong to Jesus, you carry in your spirit an impartation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, if you believe in me, out of your innermost being will flow rivers, streams of living water. So I can only carry in my being so much of a stream. As I grow, as you mature, your spirit expands, you can receive more of the anointing. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So I now have so much of a stream. When I come together with the body and we worship like we did tonight, everybody's stream starts to confluence together and we create in the spirit a river that's bigger than the river that comes inside of you. So no matter how I feel when I come in, if I put myself into the river, your worship, your love, your faith, your praise, your obedience creates that river, that anointing of the Spirit. I can simply get in the river. I don't even have to do anything. I just ride in the river that we create together, and it lifts me up. How many of you have had experiences like that? All of your hands are up. How many times did we as pastors hear people say to us, I didn't want to come to church today. I fought with my wife, I fought with my kids, I fought with God, and rah, 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 all of that junk. But when they came and the worship lifted them, the preaching of the word, and it's not the words, it's the anointing that rests on the words. Do you understand that? It's not just the information, it is that. It's not just the articulation of the information, you know, and the understanding that the information gives your head, but it's the anointing that rides on the words that gets into your spirit. And when it gets into your spirit, you never forget it. Even if you can't remember all the message, there are things that the Holy Spirit puts in you that transforms you. You get it in your spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak are what? They are spirit and they are life. So when I or anyone is preaching or teaching under the anointing, or we're worshiping under the anointing, or we're fellowshipping under the anointing, and you're having a conversation with somebody and they say something and it goes into your spirit, it's because there was an anointing riding on those words. And there will be many times when someone will say to you, thank you for what you said to me. And you're looking at them like, what did I say? And, you know, their life was transformed. And you don't remember saying it. You don't even remember talking to them. I've had that moment. Because it was life for them. Do you understand? The anointing was riding on those words. And it went deep into their spirit. You follow what I'm saying to you? The enemy hates this. It's divide and conquer. That's his plan. Any kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. So how you feel in the flesh, how you feel in your emotions, how you feel, you know, in whatever, and feelings do not lead us, amen? We're to be people who choose to be led by the Holy Spirit, not let our feelings direct us. We can choose to stand against your feelings. Tell your feelings, shut up. But I'm your feeling. Shut up. But I'll feel even worse than I do now. Too bad. You don't want to go to church. You feel miserable. I know, I'm your feeling. Shut up, we're going. Ever drag your body someplace? I don't feel like going, but I'm going. You know why? I've made a choice. I'm a disciple of the kingdom of God. And the devil says, you're a hypocrite. You're going to go there, put your nice little Christian face on. Hallelujah. People are going to say, how you doing? You're going to say, praise the Lord, glory to Jesus. And inside you got going on. Yeah, but you say to the that lie. Yeah, no. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm a disciple of the kingdom of God. And I'm bringing my sad old flesh and all those feelings to the cross, and we're going to go and worship God. Even if I don't feel like worshiping God, I'm going to say, God, here I am in my miserable self. Did you ever lift up a sacrifice of praise? Here it is. God, I don't like you right now. I don't like what's going on. I don't like my wife. I don't like my children. Don't like nothing. But I don't want to let all of this determine my destiny. I'm not going to let the problems I'm having determine my destiny. I'm going to be a disciple. So Abba, here I am with my stuff. This is what Hebrews 12 says. I think it's like verse 5. I'm not sure. I have to look it up for you. But the Bible talks about where we offer to God the sacrifice of praise, even the fruit of our lips giving thanks. Here I am, God. Here's my stuff. Here's my stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you can't even do that, and that's okay. You bring your body to the meeting and sit there. Have you ever been to the meeting? I know some of you have because you're here. And you know, and I, as a pastor, sometimes, I'd welcome people and I'd look at these people. They're in pain, you know, because the look on some of the faces was like, oh, my God. Some of the, you know, snarling, ugly. I learned how not to let that bother me. In the early days, it did, because I personalized it like it was my fault. And that was then the devil was playing me big time until I got over that and I realized it's not my fault. It's not about me. That got me. I got so I got a little step away from me, if
Follow what I'm saying to you. Then the more, another step away from me and another step away from me. And the more I got steps away from me, the freer me got. Because now this guy and that guy that needed their approval, that all that stuff, he was dead, undying. And I was killing him by taking him to the cross and saying, you're not going to control me and I don't care how you feel. We're going to obey the Lord. You hear me? We're going to obey the Lord. Yes. I don't feel like it. Shut up. I'm your feelings. Don't talk to me like that. Yes, I am. Well, I'll feel even worse. Shut up. I'm going to take you to the house of the Lord. I'm going to put my body in that seat. And I'm going to let God do whatever he wants to. God, here I am. You want to kill me? Kill me. This is a good place to die. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor, if I die today, would you please preach at my funeral? Hallelujah. Because, you know, but I think you've got plenty of property there. We can bury a lot of people. Hallelujah. I'm sure there's shovels around. Anyway, but the dynamic that gets released is you bring yourself into the place. This is your choice. You present yourself. You present yourself. Say, okay, Lord, here I am. And I want to tell you something about your feelings. They're fickle. Your feelings do not exist on their own. They're created by your thoughts. You understand that? Your thoughts create your feelings. If you're feeling bad, it's because you're thinking bad. If you want to feel better, think better thoughts. Want to feel good, think good thoughts. And you can do that. You can learn how to cast down vain imaginations and tell your thinking, I'm not going to think that. It's a battle. But you can learn how to do it. You can learn how to do it. Now, I just saved you about $3,000 in psychotherapy. So when it comes to the offering, you could think about that. So here we are, right? We're casting down our vain imaginations. We're telling the enemy no. We're speaking to our flesh. We're speaking to our feelings, and your feelings are fickle. Because when you come into the presence of the Lord, like we were experiencing during the worship, and even now, something begins to rise up in your soul, and your feelings like it. Because that peace and love and joy start to flow into your feelings, because you feel it, and your feelings like it. And you go, oh, this is great. This is great. And the meeting is over. And everybody's leaving. Say, where's everybody go? I don't want to go. Why did you stop worshiping? Why did you stop preaching? Why did you stop fellowshipping? I don't want to leave. You didn't want to come. Now you don't want to leave. Because it's your feelings, right? And the feelings, because you're thinking, I'll put some worship CDs on. But you can't because you got so mad because your feelings got upset. You threw your CDs away. And your feelings are saying, why'd you do that for? What are you listening to me? I'm just your feelings. What do I know? See, because we're so used to being in our feelings. How do you feel? How do you feel? We greet one another and we say, how do you feel? How do you feel? Are you feeling good? How do you feel? You know, it's like I heard a brother say the other day, you know, we come to meetings and we say, well, it's nice to see you. And some people think, yes, well, it's nice to be seen. But we don't come here to be nicely seen, do we? We're coming to be disciples who are learning and changing and growing and maturing, bearing fruit for the kingdom of God and helping one another do that. Do you understand? This is the big why are things going on in my life the way they are, because what God wants to teach us to learn and change and grow. Are you getting this tonight? I'm going to be with you tomorrow, so I don't have to go get all of this in one message so we can expand on it tomorrow. We'll see where the Lord takes us. But I think, I believe that God is wanting to just impart some of this into you because it calls for a change in mindset, and you have to choose that for your own soul. That says, I'm choosing, catch this, I'm choosing for my own soul, I'm going to be a maturing disciple, part one. Part two is, I'm choosing to make my relationship with everybody a relationship focused on the same thing. And if they don't want it, fine, but I want to be with people who want to be real disciples. And if you don't want to be a real disciple, you really don't want anything to do with me, because I don't care about your flesh, and I don't care if you like me or not, and I don't care what you like. I care whether you will be a disciple of the kingdom and learn and change and grow. That's what I care about. Now you have a group of people with that attitude to one another, and somebody comes in, that's what we're saying to them, and they'll go, whoa, you people are really serious. Exactly. Because we have a serious God who's serious about this issue. Well, I want another church that's, you know, loosey-goosey and nobody will ever speak to me, you know, and I could do whatever I want and, you know what I mean, and I can get prophecy and I can prophesy and I can roll on the floor, I could jump around, I could do whatever I want to do, you know, feel really good about myself and then leave and then what everybody else will confront that. See, we don't like this. This word confrontation becomes like a bad word. But I'm going to tell you something. God is a God of confrontation. Have you read your Bible? Here's Jesus. What does he do? Confront everybody. Confronts the Pharisees, the Sadducees, confronts his own disciples. Everywhere he goes. Why is he confronting? Because he's saying, I'm the king and I have an offer for you. I'm the king. I have an offer for you. I've been sent on a mission. I'm a serious God looking for serious people because I have an offer for you. And he has the same offer for everybody. I love this about God. He is no respecter of persons. He looks at everybody and says, I have the same offer for you that I have for you that I have for you. There's not, well, I don't want you. That's not it. He says he's welcoming everybody into the kingdom. The same offer is for everybody. So many people choose not to, but I'm talking to a people I believe tonight who are saying, yes, Lord, I want what you want for me. I want to be a disciple. I want to learn. I want to change. I want to grow. And I want to be with people who want to help me learn and change and grow. And I'm going to be a person to help them learn and change and grow. Let's pray. Great King, thank you for the offer you make each of us. Help us to grab this. Help us to grab this understanding, Lord. And help us to be helpers of one another's joy. We need each other. We need each other. We cannot do this alone. We're called to be part of a family, part of the body. So, Lord, I bless this expression of your kingdom that meets in this lovely facility, Lord, that you have blessed them with. May we be people who learn, change, grow, and mature as disciples of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.